A note that this service is being recorded. Our prelude is The Parting Glass, a Scottish traditional performed by Lynn Curry.
Oh, all the money that e'er I spent it in good company. And all the harm that e'er I've done, alas, it was to none but me. And all I've done for want of wit, to memory now I can't recall. So fill to me the parting glass. Good night, and joy be with you all. Oh, all the comrades away, and all the sweethearts that e'er I've had, would wish me one more day to stay. But since it falls unto my lot that I should rise and you should not, I'll gently rise and I'll softly call. Good night, and joy be with you all. Good night, and joy be with you all.
Thank you, Lynn. As usual, that was just lovely. So good morning to everyone, and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. My name is Barbara Park, and my pronouns are she, her. I'm on the program committee, the committee on ministry, the archives committee, and I'm the choir director. If this is the first time you're here, or 101st time, we're glad you're here. If you carry the weight of a weary world on your shoulders, or you enter through the door with a song in your heart and a skip in your step, we're glad you're here. If you are the loudest voice in the town square, or the subtle hand behind the scene, we are glad you're here. If you sing like angels or mumble behind the hymnals, we're glad you're here. This community is what it is because of your presence. So welcome. Welcome into this space of love, support, and justice. We are glad you are here. We have a few announcements. COVID has hit our community, so we are few in number, and we have a cancellation due to illness and COVID exposure. The membership committee is canceling the November 6th informational gathering for new members. The next gathering will be on December 6th. Please let Deza Pence or other members of the committee know if you plan on attending. Our first Soup Sunday will be after the service today. The timing isn't the best, but oh well. Please join us for lunch and conversation. Suggested donations of $5 for adults. The Prairie Women's Group, Prairie WOW, will meet next Saturday, November 5th at 10 a.m. right here. And the fall parish meeting will be held on Sunday, November 20th at 10 a.m. Today's chalice lighting is adapted from Patricia Sheldon and read by Johanna Hatch.
Mm-hmm. In this hour of holy stillness, we gather to honor the lives and the people we love. In this hour of holy stillness, we remind ourselves that the flames of life and love are never fully extinguished. In this hour of holy stillness, we offer ourselves for sharing the weight of each other's grief. In this hour of holy stillness, we offer the strength of our love to help others survive their pain and grief. In this hour of holy stillness, we call forth from each of us the power we offer out of life, out of loss, out of love.
Thank you. Now is the time for story of all for all ages. The Fall of the Fall by Jamie Hinson Reiger, read by Alice Mant, she, her. We welcome adults as well as children to come forward and get a good view.
All right, so the story today, there are no pictures, so you're gonna have to use your imagination, but it's a really good story. It's called The Fall. Once upon a time, there was a leaf who lived in an old oak tree deep in the woods. The leaf had a good leaf life. He enjoyed watching the squirrels scamper about the tree branches. He enjoyed gossiping with the ants about the goings-on in the distant trees or down on the ground below. He liked swaying in the breeze with his leaf friends or soaking up the sun on a brilliant summer day. And then, beyond all else, he enjoyed being in the presence of the tree. One day, he noticed his leaf friend Ralph, on the next branch over, was becoming a little orange. "Cool trick, Ralph," he said. "How are you doing that?" "No idea," said Ralph. "I'm just doing it." "Well, it looks good on you," said the leaf. Throughout the week, Ralph went from orange to a vibrant red. Then one day, the leaf was busy talking to a friendly robin when he noticed Ralph wasn't there on the tree beside him. "What happened to Ralph?" he wondered out loud. "He probably fell," said the robin. "It's about that time." "Time? What time?" said the leaf. "What are you talking about?" "You know," said the robin, "it's autumn. It's time for the leaves to turn colors and fall off the tree." "Fall off the tree?" said the leaf. This was news to him. "Yes," said the robin, "it's what leaves do. Every year, you all fall off the tree." "Well, I have a lot of questions about that," said the leaf. "Ask the tree," said the robin. So that is what the leaf did. "Tree," said the leaf, "am I really going to fall off the tree?" "Yes," said the tree. "I don't want to," said the leaf. "I'm sorry," said the tree. "Do I have to?" said the leaf. "Yes," said the tree. "Will it hurt?" said the leaf. "No," said the tree. "Will it hurt you?" asked the leaf, very concerned. "No," said the tree. "Next year, there will be new leaves. It's like a circle." "What is to become of me?" said the leaf. "The wind will take you," said the tree. "Where will I go?" asked the leaf. "You may stay very near, right here in this forest. You may fall right beside me among all the leaves you have known, or you may be carried far away. If you land in a stream that feeds a river, you may even end up in a great ocean. No one knows what your journey will be. Maybe the wind knows, but it isn't telling." "I don't want to leave you," said the leaf. "You are my tree." "All things are connected," said the tree. "You can never leave me. You will become a part of me in a new way, as we are both a part of the earth. You're quite the philosopher, grumbled the relief. I think I will stay. Stay a while then, said the tree. So the leaf stayed. One by one, and sometimes in a great bunch, the leaves around him turned striking shades of orange and red and rust. And one by one, the leaves detached from the tree and floated away with the wind. The leaf stayed. Are you coming with us? Asked the falling leaves. I think I will stay, said the leaf. Eventually, the tree branches were bare of every leaf except the one. It grew quite cold in the forest. The animals began to go underground or migrate to warmer climates. The leaf was alone with the cold and the deep silence of the woods on winter nights. But he had the tree. You will always have me, the tree reminded him. Presently, the forest was blanketed in snow. What is happening under there? Asked the leaf. The leaves are turning into earth, said the tree, to nourish the soil and feed new living things into which they will be reborn. It is a circle. The leaf knew then that he did not belong alone on a barren tree. His edges were tinged with an orangey red, and over the next few days, the color spread across the leaf until he was entirely red. It is hard to let go, said the leaf. It is, said the tree. Wind, where will you carry me? Asked the leaf. There's only one way to know that, said the wind. Into what will I be reborn? Asked the leaf. Into everything, said the night sky. I have loved being your leaf, the leaf said to the tree. You will always be my leaf, said the tree. The leaf fell, the wind carried him, and the forest was silent and still. The end.
Now, yeah, that was lovely. Now I'll take Sing Our Kids Out. The lyrics are in your order of service. Go on your way, may you be filled with gladness. Go in joy, go in joy. May fortune bless your day with peace and loving kindness. Go in love, go in love. Well, I'm going to recount the history of our Day of the Dead service. Originally, I was not supposed to be the presider today. Matt was, so I get to do more than usual. Traditions are important. I heard a quote on the radio a couple of days ago that ceremonies help us remember to remember. That certainly speaks to our Day of the Dead service. In 1995, Ruth and George called and made a trip to Mexico and got to observe the three-day colorful Day of the Dead celebration. Ruth was very taken by the experience. After describing the fun and color, she later wrote in the Prairie History book that, quote, beneath the colorful surface lay support of the bereaved, an acceptance of mortality, and a linking of the generations, close quote. She felt that these values should be brought home. She continued, quote, I wondered, couldn't we set aside a time at Prairie for members to honor their dead and share their grief with the community, close quote. She first organized the program as she envisioned it in 1998. She encouraged people to bring photos or mementos of the remembered person, share stories, or just light a candle. She also began compiling and continuing to keep up to date a list of all the Prairie members who had died since Prairie's founding. Mary Mullen has continued to keep this list up to date since Ruth's death. That list, which has gotten fairly long now, has been read every year for the Day of the Dead program, which we now call All Souls Day. I found this speaking of the names personally very important and meaningful. Each year, the program takes on a slightly different character, depending on who is organizing it, but they all help us remember to remember. So Mary Mullen and Rick Recking will read all the names of those who have gone before us.
You gonna introduce anything?
Oh. Okay. Well, I'll introduce this by saying that there are 88 people altogether on this list, and probably Rick and Barb and I and any other people who've been here since for a long time will remember faces and names for all these people and their personalities and the things they contributed. So while they may be strangers to some of you totally, remember that they're like people you know who have gone before.
We're going to read them in kind of a link. This is the 1960s. Rand Cautley.
In the 1970s, Jana Ostrass, Bruce Carson, and Roland Parrish.
The 1980s, Les Lyons, Lois Hagstrom, Rebecca Clark.
In the 1990s, Ted Clark, John Grindrod, Avis Parrish, Dorothy Weatherby, Betsy Roberts, Carol Dopp, Judy Perlman, Marvin Werpel, Mike Sheehy, Sidney Mannering, Bill Caldwell, and Odell Taliaferro.
It gets hard to read these. From 2000 to 2004, Hazel Taliaferro, Henry Pratt, Paula Elkins, David Carson, Shirley Grindrod Durkin, Lee Bullen, Carl Thompson, John Small, Jack Barong, John Deal, Sandy Klippel, Tim Fast.
Then in the next 5 years, 2005 to 2009, Dan Willard, Marion Thompson, Bob Lawrence, George Calden, Pat Cautley, Alice Bullen, Hermine Davidson, Rachel Siegfried, Betty Jollings, Charlie Davidson, and Dick Bonzer.
Mary Lou Deal, Jack Jollings, Barbara Rames, Bunny Wilkening, David Johnson, Delita Chaprue, Dave Zackham, Fran Ramica, Gordon Cunningham, Pat Watkins, Mary Lou Muntz, Robert Durkin, Bob Siegfried, Bill Burns, Nancy Garst, Barbara Carson.
In the next 5 years, 2015 to 2019, Mona Barong, Norma Briggs, Bob Kale, Lilo Kale, Galen Smith, Megan Christensen, Orton Gray, Laura Smale, Theron Rice, Franklin French, Lori Bond, Ori Laux, Hugh Iltis, Warren Hagstrom, Shirley Lake, Burl Gibbon Fago, Jim Carpenter, Gene Matos, Jack Ostrass, Ruth Calden, Mike Briggs, Rosemarie Lester.
And from 2020, Lee Haspel, Robin Carre, Beth Potter, Boris Frank, John Franz, Bill Parmenter, Bob West, and most recently, Donna Murdoch.
At this time, we'll share our pictures, mementos, stories of loved ones who are no longer with us. Please raise your hand and a microphone will be brought to you and you can speak from where you're sitting, and then you can place your items on the tray, on the table, if you want to. Feel free to introduce yourself with your name and pronouns. For those who are on Zoom, please type in the chat if you'd like us to share for you.
Good morning. My name is Carlene Tiksinski. And as I was growing up, I had two sisters, Diana, who passed away some years ago. And on September 17th, my sister Susan passed away. And it's Susan's name and information I'd like to share with you quickly. Susan lived in a small town in Tennessee, and Ralph and I and family members have gone down twice now to take care of the estate. And it's interesting how you find out about people when you start going through their estate. And I discovered that Susie kept her life kind of straight with little spiral notebooks like this. I'm sorry, my back is to most people. Could I move? How's that? And I wanted to look through each of these books because Susie didn't have a will, and we were hoping maybe there were some information points in these. But these kept her grocery lists, little things she had to do every day. But what I also discovered was this jovial, happy sister of mine had some very deep thoughts. And she would write down songs or poems and some things that she wrote. And I'd like to share just one or two of those with you today.
Take your mask off.
Take my mask off. Thank you. So as I went through these books, I eventually marked the pages that had these words. It is kind of awkward here. Let me move here. That's okay, I can do this, thank you, Mary. So I took some of the pages where Susie had written down these thoughts about life and discovered some things. She was very lonely, much lonelier than the family had guessed she was. But I would like to share just one of, I actually typed up a lot of the pages from those little spiral books, but this is one I thought fit today. If ever there is a tomorrow when we're not together, there is something you must always remember. You are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. But the most important thing, even if we're apart, I'll always be with you. That's Pooh and Piglet having a conversation. So I will leave this on the table. Lots of words from Susie and her little spiral book. Thank you.
I'm Gary Gates. I had both a brother and a sister die last year. The question of whether or not it was a grief is a matter of opinion.
Gary, hold it closer to you so we can hear you better.
The question of whether or not it was grief, both of them had been in very poor health for a long, long time. And to a certain extent, I felt they were out of their pain for finally. Both were very active people until they became disabled. And my brother particularly really became sort of a hermit after he became disabled because he could no longer do things. Sharing memories of them, I guess one memory of my brother, it's not really the memory of my brother, but something one of my other brothers said about him. He said, he has the best memory of anybody I ever knew for things that never happened. Because he was a great storyteller. My sister had severe health problems and had a severe shoulder problem, and she decided to have a shoulder replacement. I'm pretty sure that's what killed her, because she died a week later. Ooh. But she was so happy about her shoulder feeling so good. It was, so she had a good week before she went. But I hadn't really planned on talking about that, but both of them went last year, and both of them had nothing to do with COVID. It had to do with the fact that they had both been ill for a long time. Thank you.
I'm Renee, she, her. I didn't bring a memento, but I just wanted to remember my four grandparents who all passed away within 3 years of each other between the ages of when I was 7 and 10. So I'm always really jealous of people that had grandparents when they were older than that, because I had still remember having school assignments where they'd say, talk to your grandparents about, you know, the Vietnam War. And I was like, I don't have grandparents that are living. So I just want to thank again, I've already done this, but thank you to all the Prairie people who are basically like grandparents. My kids do have 4 living grandparents, luckily, right now, but I appreciate all of the kind of adopted grandparents that are at Prairie, because none of the 4 live in Madison. So it's always nice that our kids get to have kind of other grandparents here. So thank you to everyone.
Johanna Hatch, she, her. Sorry, I'm going to cry. I want to remember my dad, who left this earth on September 21st. My father, Freeman, I was the only child of his second marriage, and I was a later in life child. He was 42 when I was born. And so it was always hard to kind of define our relationship and what we meant to each other. But I know that we loved each other. He was not what I would call a religious person. He actually said that he thought the church was going to fall down around him when he came to our wedding. Because it was the first time he had been in one since he was a child. But in his own way, he taught me a deep respect for the earth and for the cycle of the seasons. And so I think for him, that was his God and his church in a way. And I hope that he is now back amongst the water and the stars and the marsh grass that he loved so much. He, I think, always struggled too, because he didn't really know how to parent anybody, least of all a girl. But as I grew older, it was really cool to see his relationship with my kids, and to see the unexpected parts of him that live on through my own children. Liam's middle name is Freeman. Liam is a lefty like his grandfather. Liam goes to bed early and wakes up early like his grandfather. Things that I didn't expect to be genetic gifts, but that have come around again. And I'm really grateful for the time that I had with him at the very end of his life, that he was not alone, because I know he said that was his fear. And so I'm really grateful that my last act for him as his daughter in this life was to be with him as he was there with me when I was born. So I have 2 pictures from our wedding. It's the time that the only time I ever saw this man in a suit, and I think it looked pretty good on him. So I'm going to put it up here.
Mary Mullen, she, her. Well, I brought pictures of the three prairie people who died in the past year, which I'll put up on the table. Bill Parmenter. Bob West, who maybe only a very few of us knew because he was here in the 80s and was here a short time. And Donna Murdoch, who many more of us knew because she, well, maybe the last 6 or 8 or 10 years she hasn't been here, but, you know, before that. And then I wanted to remember my friend Lois Menninger, who Patty and I got to know at the Meadowood Senior Meals. And I think she died at 88. We only knew her for about 3 years, but it seemed like, you know, more than that because we had wonderful conversations. And she grew up in a very religious household, but she didn't let that limit her thinking, especially when, you know, she was the age she was. And we would often have deep conversations about, well, you know, what about all these kids who are, she said, I have a gay grandson. And she was kind of wondering how to think about that. And we talked about transgender people. And, you know, she had an open mind, and that's something I really appreciated about her. And she was also a writer. Eventually we learned this, and I said, I want to really see what you're writing. So she gave me some manuscripts, and I read through them and just loved them. And I encouraged her to write books, you know, to put them in printed form. Then COVID came along, and she took that time to work with her, I think, two of her daughters. She wrote 8 different books. Wow. They're sort of autobiographical, but not exactly, a little bit fictionalized. And I just want to read a little bit about from this book called Tales My Mother and Others Told Me. And she called this part ruminating. What was I like when I was young? I wanted to be a good person. I wanted to be a righteous person. But really, I was often sneaky and deceiving and rebellious and angry. Some of this was just being a kid. I had no patience at all. So aware but still judging so harshly, I viewed those older people as people who were good at preaching to me but were very poor at living the life they preached. My parents were not good models. I don't want to imply that they were terrible, terrible people, no. But they both had, as it said these days, anger issues. They were angry at each other, they were angry with their lives, they were angry about the life dealt out to them. No, they were not exceptional in their angry. It probably helped our family that neither one of them drank alcohol. So that's just a touch of her style, which was nice short sentences and really conveyed a lot, I thought. So that's Lois Menninger. She died this on my birthday, September 25. She went in for a breast surgery, and then after the surgery, her kidneys failed, and she decided not to do anything about it. So that's Lois Menninger.
Arne Schroeder, she, her. I just wanted to reflect on your loss of your father recently. I got a condolence email from Katie of Katie's American Indian Arts on Monroe Street a few days ago. And she said, I just came across your message. I'm so sorry to hear about your father passing away. And I'm really glad that Dean is healthy enough to go to Africa. I thought, something wrong with this picture. Especially because Dean just spent the week in the hospital with pneumonia, although he's out with his buddies walking this morning, so he's doing much better. But it got me thinking about my dad because Katie had come across an email from 2014 and was just responding. It also got me thinking about email and how we never catch up. But My dad was 21 when I was born, and he also had no idea how to parent a daughter, and I think was a little perplexed that parenthood was thrust upon him so early in life. Unfortunately, he spent the last 10 years of his life suffering from a brain tumor that he was just amazingly brave about, and he didn't want to die. And I do still miss him very much, but I'm also happy that now that our son Eric is the father of a daughter, times have changed a lot, and I think he has a much better idea of how to parent a little girl. And I think that, that Dean also benefited from being of a different generation, and that girls growing up today and the young adult women like our daughter, I think, have a much closer relationship to their fathers thanks to that. But I'm grateful for the dad that I had, and I know that he loved me.
Only because we've got time. I'm 75 this year, and I meet on a monthly basis, Zoom meeting, with friends from my high school class, men from my high school class. Most of these men were also from my grade school, and we're all turning 75 this year. One of the ongoing characters in our background was one of our best friends, Bing Stemple. And Mary knows from things I've written about Bing in our writing group that he was quite influential in my life. In our 25th high school reunion, he and my sister totally embarrassed themselves on a national television broadcast that was made of that. And it was to my great delight that they were totally embarrassed. 8 weeks later, I got a call, not a call, I got a letter from Bing saying that he had been diagnosed with HIV. And time progressed, and all of a sudden it got reconfigured into AIDS. And so our lives were upended as this man went through 5 years of agony. What occurred to me at that time was I knew men earlier that had HIV and AIDS, and they died really fast. But he lived long enough to know that the retrovirals were coming, but he couldn't live to make it. And he agonized at that. And that was so sad. But two stories. We and a third young man, when we were 15, stole the other fellow's father's car, and we crashed it. That young man took off. He booked. Bing was pinned under the car, and so I stayed to try and get him out. Well, of course, I wasn't able to. The police were, and we were called down. We were hauled to the police station. Our fathers came, and we could hear the cops saying, "What do we do about this third kid? We know who he is, and we know who his dad is, and he's really going to catch hell when he gets home, you know?" Shortly thereafter, my dad comes, and he's really angry, except that I stayed to help my friend, and that made all the difference to him and made all the difference to me, too. And then Bing, who was the youngest of five boys, his dad arrived. "Ho, ho, ho, thanks for saving my son from out of the wreck, you know?" And the third guy's father comes, and he's got him by the ear, you know, and hauling him out. And my dad saying, you know, "Come with me," sort of. And Bing's dad has his arm around him, and I could see him looking over at the cop saying, "Boys will be boys." And this young man, Bing, comes into our conversation a lot. Now, he died at 50, and so we're 25 years past that. And boy, it seemed like yesterday.
Well, I'll jump in here since I have a microphone. I, as many of you know, or most of you know, I belong to the Raging Grannies. And when you are a member of a group called the Raging Grannies, you're just set up to lose people periodically. And the most recent one was Joanne Elder, who maybe some of you knew. She and her husband were tremendous activists. And so her memorial service was yesterday at FUS, but it was done in the Quaker style. And it was interesting because some of the people there were not really familiar with the Quakers. And the grannies had decided, well, we'd start, we were going to sing a little song as our tribute that we do for grannies who've died. And they said, well, we'll wait for a big, long pause kind of towards the end. Well, you know, they had no experience with Quaker meetings, and there was a pause, a long pause, but they didn't understand that that's not the end. That's just sort of the beginning. So they stood up, and we sang, and it was fine. It was lovely, but I was very amused afterwards. I said, no, this is... You have to be ready for a lot of silence. And the person who was the head of it said he was worried that it would be a pop-up service, which means people, you know, are moved and pop up and say something. And he was hoping it wouldn't be, whereas many of us were hoping it would be, and it was. So I'm putting my hat and the... order of service for, or the memorial notes for Joanne Elder.
Nancy Wonderland, she, her. I brought a picture of my mom. Her name was Evelyn. She passed away, it'll be 5 years next month. I've been bringing her picture for years, so I finally thought I could at least tell you her name. Maybe I can share a story sometime.
Well, we'll now have a moment of meditation in honor of those who have gone before us. We're sharing our offering this quarter with Porch Light Digs Program, which provides eviction prevention counseling and financial assistance to households facing eviction. The offertory today is The Circle Game by Joni Mitchell. And Ron Fry wasn't able to be here today, but he recorded this for us. You can if you want to. Then.
Yesterday, a child came out to wander, caught a dragonfly inside a jar. Fearful when the sky was full of thunder, tearful at the falling of a star. And the seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came, and go round and round and round in the circle game. Then the child moved 10 times round the seasons, skated over 10 clear frozen streams. Words like when you're older must appease him, and promises of someday make his dreams. And the seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go round and round and round in the circle game. 16 springs and 16 summers gone now. Cartwheels turn to car wheels through the town. They tell him, take your time, it won't be long now till you drag your feet to slow the seasons down. And the seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go round and round and round in the circle game. So the years spin by, now the boy is 20. Though his dreams have lost some grandeur coming true, there'll be new dreams, maybe better dreams and plenty before the last revolving year is through. And the seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go round and round in the circle game, and go round and round and round in the circle.
Thank you. That's better. Yes, we really appreciate Ron Fry doing that for us from a distance. Our closing words are, In the river, the water continues to flow, by John Morgan, read by Margaret Moses.
Margaret Moses, my pronouns are she, her, hers. In the river, the water continually flows on, yet the river is ever there. Our lives flow on in endless song, yet life and joy shall never end.
Our closing music is The Spirit of Life, which is 123 in your Singing the Living Tradition hymnal. And Ron is going to accompany us for that from afar also. So please stand as you're able. And we may be small, but we can make a mighty sound together.
Spirit of life, come unto me. Sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion. Blow in the wind, rise in the sea. Move in the hand, giving life shape of justice. Roots hold me close, wings set me free. Spirit of life, come to me, come to me.
At this time, stopping the recording. And as a caring community, we now take time to briefly share special joys, sorrows, or personal concerns with our prairie friends. Also, we invite any guests or visitors to introduce themselves during this time. For guests and visitors, there's a visitor form in the back pocket of most of the chairs, which you can fill out and return to the welcome table by the front door. If you're in the room and feel comfortable, please come to the podium so those on Zoom can see who's speaking. Also, introducing yourself with your name and pronouns is welcome. Otherwise, please raise your hand and one of our helpers will bring the microphone to you. If you're online, please type into the chat for the Zoom helper to read aloud your joy and concern or introduction.
Arne Schroeder, I just wanted to give a shout out. They may be watching on Zoom, but we certainly all wish Reverend Matt a quick recovery from COVID. And everyone, if you want to say hi to Matt. Also, Ron Fry's wonderful recording this morning reminded me of the fact that on Wednesday he's scheduled to have hip replacement surgery. So if Ron is watching, we're all sending him warm thoughts for a quick recovery.
All right, a joy and concern for Ron from Zoom. Knee replacement surgery November 2nd, and he will be absent until recovered enough to get back in person. So we wish you all the best, Ron.
Hi, I'm Laurie Kananer, and I'm new to Prairie, as is my mother, Diane. She didn't want to introduce herself, but I'm making her now. We're both she, hers. And